Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson.
And this is David North.
And this is Andy Atwell.
We'd like to welcome you to Come and Reason Together through the Bible. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are looking at how we read the Bible, and it starts with you'll read a verse, but you don't want to just go by the verse, that little picture piece. You want to go by a verse in the light of its context. We've gone through that. But then there's another thing that will explain. If you've got a particular question in the Bible, it's not just the fact that we read the verse, but we read similar verses about the same subject in different places. Like our friend Kevin, he asked the question about a rich man entering into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. We used about three or four scriptures. People think, well, you've got to give up all your wealth, because one man was told to give up all that he owned. He came to Jesus and he said, well, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to keep his commands. Well, the young man said, I've kept these from my youth. Now, how many people can say, okay, I'm going to walk down the street and, hey, young man, have you kept God's commands from your youth? And how many people would I get a yes answer from?
Few, or maybe zero.
Well, now, this young man said, well, I kept those from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, because Jesus can read our hearts. And he says, yet you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have. But the rest of the story is, come and follow me. Well, the young man went away grieved. Why?
He had much possessions.
He had great wealth. And so Jesus required him to give up everything. But then there was Zacchaeus. Now, he wasn't even told to. He gave away a certain amount, maybe whatever amount he gave away.
He said, whatever I have defrauded anyone, I will replace fourfold.
And he gave away half of his wealth.
To the poor.
To the poor.
On top of that.
He was going to give away half of his wealth to the poor, and he was going to rectify every wrong that he had ever committed. And he invited Jesus, or actually Jesus just said, today I'm coming to your house. And isn't that interesting? We've been talking about going out door to door, and Jesus approaches him and says, by the way, I'm going to eat dinner at your house today. I'm coming to your house to be part of your family. And he was accepted by Jesus. Now, he only had to give up half, but apparently there's different weights and measures depending on what we can handle. So the young man, the rich man, was told to give away everything, and Zacchaeus gave away half, and that was entirely pleasing to Jesus. So the rich man, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, it's harder for a rich man. And some people, he will require the full amount, some people less. And it's not about money. Does Jesus need any money, Andy?
Well, the Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, meaning, no, he doesn't need money.
So he's really talking about distractions. Now, a lot of radio stations, when they proclaim Christ, what do they usually ask for?
Money.
And so really, when they're doing that, if you ask that every time, what do you begin to think? What's the most primary thing on their minds?
Money.
But God, since he owns everything and he can create whatever he needs, it's not about money. It's about things that get in the way between men and God. And that's really what we're here to talk about. Not about money, but anything that would distract from a man coming and following God. And so what's on the other side of the eye of the needle? Now, the eye of the needle was a hole in the wall that a man on a camel or a man on a horse had to get off the horse. He had to take the burdens off because they could not go through with burdens on them. But what was on the other side of that wall?
Entrance into the city.
Into the city.
Going into.
And what's the name of the everlasting city that we want to go into?
New Jerusalem.
It's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into what?
Okay, the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. So on the other side of that eye of the needle, it's entering into the kingdom of God. So anything that keeps us from entering into the kingdom of God. So anyway, it's interesting how you look at all those different instances. Does it mean I give up everything? Do I give up half of it? That's not the full story. There'll be other verses about that, about the rich. And James actually talks about it quite a bit, the book of James. The point we're going to get into next is you see how we used a meat scripture, different scriptures that talk about the same subject, to see the fullness of God's heart and mind. The whole of the Bible is the fullness of God's heart and mind to man, the things that God wants us to know to enter into God's kingdom and to live in God's kingdom and abide in God's kingdom as happy citizens of God's kingdom. So we're going to look at mate scriptures now. Why do we want to look at mate scriptures? Isaiah 34:16-17.
Okay, I'm going to read that now, and it says, "Seek from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall be missing. None will lack its mate. For his mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them, and he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it to them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation they shall dwell in it." So here at the beginning of this, this is talking about seeking out of God's book. And the first thing he tells us we need to do is to read. And when we read, we pick up information about certain topics. But the next thing here says that not one of these will be missing. And there's a place in the scriptures that says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." God's word will abide forever. So we can always trust in his word, that it is a sure thing. But the next thing...
Actually, David, can I back you up?
Sure.
Just a little bit. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
Oh, where is that at?
Did it say study?
Not off this scripture. Mm-mm.
So there was a young man that talked to Andy, and he's been reading. And if you start in the very beginnings of putting the puzzle pieces together, if you start at the very beginning, when we all started, let's go back, me 40 years ago, David, I'm 42 maybe years, David a little less than 40 years, Andy about 35 years. Were we really studying, or what were we doing?
I was reading.
I was reading.
Reading.
And so when you're reading, you're big picturing, right? You're not little picturing, you're big picturing. You're like up in a helicopter. You're getting an overview, right?
Yeah, sure.
It is.
Even though we called it a word study, it was a word gathering reading. We were really just reading portions of the scriptures.
Okay.
That's true.
That's a good way to describe it.
And we were like babies, you know.
Not getting in too deep.
Remember those Dick and Jane books? You had a big picture. Really, when we were learning to read, let's go back to kindergarten, first grade, and so on. When we had those picture books, like a kid reads, you have a big picture and a few big words at the bottom. When you first start, there's just a couple of words at the bottom, couple, three, four words. As you get bigger, the words get a little smaller and you get more words on there. But when you're first reading, there's a few words and a big picture. You ever thought of that? One thing, your interest has got to be held, and you can relate to that. And then later on, you can handle more words. And then you start reading books without pictures. Ooh, I like those pictures because it took up space.
Start out with, you don't even know what words are. You don't know how to spell. You can barely sound them out.
Yeah, who knows what repentance is, Andy?
Unless someone looks into that, they don't.
How about the word foundations?
They don't know what that means.
Is that in the Bible?
Yeah.
Wise man laid his foundation on the rock.
Sure.
So it's in there.
It's in there.
But you talk to the normal person, actually even talk to Christians. Do they really, even Christians today, do they know what you're saying?
Have you laid
your foundations?
It's words and not knowing the meanings, not even knowing how they fit in the big picture.
So isn't the first thing to paint some big pictures?
Yes.
We're talking a word with a picture with a big picture
like
and
three
not
words
a lot of words.
Or something. Like three words. See Jane run. Like the old days.
I could never figure out this one in a Dick and Jane book. Sally painted a big cookie on the side of the house, and it became a big topic in this one Dick and Jane book. It kind of threw me for a while. I had to go to counseling sessions. Not really. But I could never fit. I'm going like, get that cookie off that house. It doesn't belong there. It's out of place. But the first thing... when you do the Bible studies, our Bible readings, we should really call them reading. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and just read it.
Okay.
In a relaxed, quiet manner, not asking people a lot of questions, not asking for a lot of details, just read it.
Yeah, no dissecting, just reading.
And then how about you read it and then you pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit for an interpretation. If you are Spirit-filled, resting on it. Let the words sink into your mind. I think a good way to read is read early in the morning and then think about it during the day.
Okay. And would we all agree that the Holy Bible is the Word of God that it's talking about here?
Well, how about if you go into these bookstores and see all these books, how many Bibles are in there? A lot of the Christian bookstores today.
A lot more words that men have written, sometimes about the Bible, sometimes about other subjects. Yet this says to seek from the book of the Lord and read.
It doesn't say go grab a commentary.
No.
It doesn't say go call Andy. It just says read the Bible.
In other words, God can talk to you personally through the Bible and teach you things.
You know, I was talking to some people the other week, and I said, well, you know, praying's pretty interesting. And they go, yeah. And I said, but when God speaks back to you, now that's real interesting. And they're like, whoa. I go, no, he really will speak back and tell you things, just even things about the Bible, not just specific questions you ask, but things about the Bible.
And the interesting thing is, again, just to continue on that reading, not one of these will be missing, not one will lack its mate. It says, for his mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them, and he has cast the lot for them. And his hand has divided it to them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. So when we look at the scriptures and we understand that it's God's word and none of these are missing, the ones that he intended to be in the Bible are there. We also come to find out that none will lack its mate. So that means there must be more than one scripture talking about a particular topic that would be considered a mate scripture. And if you put the mates together, then you have a complete thought. If you gather together all the mates, if you didn't do that, what would you end up with?
Verses.
And maybe only
a part.
The whole together might be called truth, but if you only had half of it, what would that be?
Half truth.
Is a half truth good?
It's a lie.
It's a lie. Most people recognize that. So we really do want to look for the mate scripture. Sometimes there's going to be one or two verses that'll be mates to each other, and sometimes there's several. And it says here that his mouth, God's mouth, has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. So the Holy Spirit will gather those things together for us. And it
does not talk about a man.
It doesn't talk about a man here in this context of verses that we're looking at.
David, how about this? Going back to the scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So let's reason with that. So if you get a man involved in this, what are you going to get?
You're going to get man's thoughts involved.
You're going to get bondage. There you go.
Bondage.
Yes.
A man's ideas conform to me. Think this way. That's bondage.
I think God knows what he's doing, don't you? I know he knows what he's doing more so than a man would know what to do.
Certainly. He certainly does.
So then, and it goes on to say that he has cast the lot for them and his hand has divided it to them by line. And it reminds me of another place in the scriptures where it talks about whom shall God teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine. It says those just weaned from the milk, those just drawn from the breast. And it goes on to say precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
You sound like a bricklayer, David.
It exactly sounds like a wall.
You sound like you just built a brick foundation.
Well, it said his hand has divided it to them by line. So this is how we learn. God gives us scriptures that we are to put upon each other. And it does build. It builds a house that is a spiritual house whereby we become part of God's house and we become part of God's family. And there's protection in that when you think about it. And there's comfort to be part of God's house.
You don't want to be lonely all by yourself, sitting on a hill being a guru that knows it all, do you?
No.
You know, I used to work for a bricklayer when I was about 20 years old, and I was amazed at watching the bricklayers, how much work they took on each single brick as they put it into the wall. They had maybe five or six different things. They'd pick it up and spin it around in their hand to see if it was all square on every side. Then they would put some mortar on the ends of it, on the bottom where the other course was, and then they would tap it, put the level on it, scrape it, tap it, put the level on it, and finally go to the next brick. Seven or eight different things they did with every single brick to make sure it was pure in the wall.
And the Bible talks about bringing the outcast poor into your home. Yes, you can do that to your personal home, but when you become part of God's home, you're bringing them into God's house.
Again, it's not about us. We're guests. We are joint guests in that, but it's all about being in the Father's home.
Another place says he sets the solitary in families. People that are alone in the world have a place to become part of a family. And just to finish this one part off here, it says, they shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. The thing about families is they pass things on to their children and then to their grandchildren. From generation to generation, these things are passed on when you become part of this family.
So some of these mysteries or secrets, the word mystery comes from the Greek word
mysterion.
Boy, we're getting smart here, aren't we?
Mysterion.
Mysterion.
Mysterion. Mystery. Mystery comes from the Greek word mystery. And so these mysteries of putting these things together, David discovers something in his searchings and readings of the Bible. Then he can share that with us. We get to add that to ours. And then we do this likewise with other people. And it seems like if we're all building on the wall, how quickly that wall is going up. So when our children come along or the grandchildren come along and they see this and we say, come along, son, we want to show you some things that we have found. They don't have to labor quite so much in the bottom layers. They will have their own house to build. But as we are laboring together in God's house, it says that we are the temple of the living God, but we jointly are living stones in God's house. It says that where David is a stone, Andy's a stone, I'm a stone, and we can help each other in their labors in becoming a living stone, polish each other and so on. So it's not like we each have the Holy Spirit within us and we're to ourselves. We are also living stones in God. And so,
amen. And it's a big house that's being built. There's plenty of room for lots of people.
And we can share with our kids and with you all the things we're learning, and you also can come along.
And you also then can tell us what God tells you.
Amen. Because God will teach each person apart, won't he, Andy?
He's not a respecter of persons.
And you will have the freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. You will not be bound by a church doctrine, a church denomination. You'll be able to freely go in and search out the scriptures. I'd like to go to John 15, 1 through 16. This is one that a friend of ours, this man of God that started us, this is one of his favorite scriptures. And this is the one that he always carried around in his pocket, like David had five smooth stones. This is one that our friend used to carry around that he could explain to people of how this works about bearing fruit. We started with, what was that one scripture that we read in Matthew?
Therefore, Matthew 3:8 was, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance.
Yes.
John the Baptist told them.
So let's take fruit, for instance. We're going to look at mate scriptures. Well, an excellent way to do this is go to the word fruit, look up in an interlinear the word fruit, and you'll find out it's the Greek word karpon. And this word is in the singular number, the fruit of the Spirit it talks about and so on in the Bible. And anyway, we're going to look up this karpon, and it's found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in this next scripture. It's John 15, 1 through 16.
It says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name he may give to you.
We have just gone over mate scriptures, which is number 4 on the website, Gilbert and Friends. And we are going to continue on next time. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truths.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.